Blog Talk Radio.
One night Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barn and with the greatest of care. Something stirred when he hollered, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself, stop all that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. And kindly point that gun the other way. And holla, holla, holla up in the hay, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. Kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep and you butt in. And hobble, 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 hobble with your chin, 'cause tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do. We got eggs to lay. Ground to dig and worms to scratch. Thanks a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. 'Cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens, done. Nobody at all. So quiet yourself.
You're listening to Nonprofit Radio, FM 97.3, KZAC LP Sacramento, 104.9 FM, KGIG LP Modesto Ripon, or FM 93.3, KPHD LP Modesto Ceres.
Welcome to today's edition of The Backstory with former Mayor Carmen Sabatino, with news and information you will not read in the local paper or hear on area radio and TV. The Backstory presents an insider's view of what's really happening on a local political scene. And now, let's join your host, Carmen Sabatino, to learn The Backstory.
Well, welcome once again. Good morning. How are you this morning, Warren?
Doing great, Mayor. How are you?
It's a great day,
isn't
it?
Good morning.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood.
Oh, that's not a bad little ditty. Maybe we could replace "There Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens" with "A Wonderful Day in the
Neighborhood." Red Rogers.
Of course, yeah.
I have to get my sweater on to do that.
Well, okay. You know, it is 11 o'clock, just a little past 11, I see. And I did announce that I was going to go to the 10 o'clock meeting that was held this morning, unless they canceled it without my knowledge, at 10 a.m., and the Economic Development Committee Council Workshop with Bill Zielecki and Ted Bradwell and Tony Madrigal being there, the alternates, of course. And, you know, you ought to get familiar with all of these people on the council. You got three that are on the committee, and then the alternates are the other four members: Christy Ayu and Manny Grewal, Jenny Kinoyer, and Doug Ridenour Sr. And so the alternates usually, if they do go, they sit in, but they can't say anything. Anyhow, I think there's also a Brown Act type of thing that happens. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about what was going to be on the agenda this morning, and that was items 11 and 12. And are we putting this on Sun Blaster? Or?
It's on the Backstory. I uploaded.
Okay, in Backstory.
Recommended reading.
Recommended reading. We'd like you to know what they're planning to do. I found out more stuff, and I guess the Bee found out, or the Bee wrote it up. I didn't see it in there, but the packet that came with this was it's right here, and the description of this issue is, it's to consider accepting the feasibility study proposed Convention Center Hotel by HVS Convention Sports and Entertainment Facilities Consulting, providing a direction to staff and forwarding to council for approval of $49,300. And people are saying, oh my God, that's a lot of money. No, that's just the down payment. $49,300 keeps them under the $50,000 mark. Anything $50,000 and more has to be voted on by the Modesto City Council.
Well, any business with a name that long has to make a lot of money. Come on.
Well, they're gonna get this, and then after they take it to the council, they'll ask for another couple of hundred thousand. And the purpose is to build another hotel. And according to what I'm hearing, I guess there were some quotes by Lynn Dickerson, former publisher of the Bee, executive director of the Gallo, just a real asset to this community. If you lived inside her bubble is the very, very wealthy. And Lynn Dickerson thinks that building a $33 million luxury hotel is going to bring tourism to Modesto, and that people will be willing to pay $200 a night to live in this hotel. But anyhow, the more you read about it, the more you're going to see how foolish this venture is.
Well, I can't believe that. Come on. $33 million today, maybe, by that projection, but then by the time it were to go in, it wouldn't be $33 million then at the other end.
Well, I don't know. Part of the discussion is redoing the convention center. That convention center was built 30 years ago. We owe more on it now than when we built it.
Yeah, that figures.
And you know how you do that? Well, you don't ask people for taxes. You mortgage your property. And so this council, and that's why I wonder, I mean, you can't pick one of them out. If you can't vote for one of them, you can't vote for any of them because they're all in on it. The amount of money that's gone down the drain in this city for decades is one of the reasons is because we don't seem to be able to do the right thing. We do the thing that best benefits a small group of people.
Wow.
So anyhow, I got to tell you, I do miss that. I should have gone. I couldn't go. I had a doctor's appointment, and I realized that, you know, I wasn't going to be able to make it and be on the show at the same time. So the fiscal impact of what they're planning to do, they're unknown, and they're pending the committee's feedback and direction. The cost to complete, this is the word I'm interested in, the cost to complete the hotel study was $49,300. So it's all done. It's ready? It's complete?
Of course not.
No.
Are you kidding?
Okay. And this is approved by Lori A. Smith, Director, Parks, Recreation, and Neighborhood Department. She was secretary to the city council prior to 1999. When I became mayor, she was transferred, and a real fine council secretary was appointed. And the other approval came from Joseph P. Lopez, city manager.
Oh, yes. Mr. I can't explain why we spend over what we're supposed to on the budget. I don't know how these things get spent unauthorized. That's Joe Lopez?
That's Joe Lopez.
Oh, okay.
We're going to do better.
Yes, of
First,
course.
We're going to find out what we're doing wrong.
No, we'll hire an auditor.
Oh, no, we can't do that. We don't want to bring in an auditor. No, we did already try that once.
Well, that, yeah.
See what happened, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, there's another phrase in here. Based on the demand projections and above-mentioned assumptions, and they have to assume a lot of things in order to
demand projections
themselves.
And above assumptions.
Yeah.
You know what assuming does, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, no.
Oh,
what
yes,
you
do.
What do you mean by assumption?
You can't say on the radio.
I know. I can't say it on the radio assuming.
Okay. Development of the projected hotel would yield $8.6 million in new direct spending, 106 new full-time jobs, and $1.2 million in annual tax revenue in a stable year. I know what they can do. If this is true, this $1.2 million they're going to make,
Yeah. They
can give that to the Gallo, because the Gallo costs the county $1.2. We subsidize it to the tune of $1.2 million. So we can end that subsidy. Follow?
You can't end it. No, you can't end that.
Well, if I'm making $1.2 million.
Right. And they're just going to cut a check for $1.2 million and that's it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So,
I see.
Anyhow, we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, really.
In the meantime,
I'm not going to hold my breath.
My good friend Lynn Dickerson appears before the audience at every Gallo performance and begs for her salary. Because despite what the people of this city think, county thing, the Gallo is a fine thing to have. Okay, no, it's too late. The milk has been spilled, it's gone. But the fact is that don't try and tell me and tell anybody else, even who graduated from the third grade, that center is making money, because it's not. And it never will. And here's the phrase you can use for that, but that's true of all of them. None of them make money.
Yeah.
So, hey, getting back to some criminal stuff, I guess you've heard already what went on yesterday, or?
Yes, yeah, a little bit about it.
And this was in the Frank Carson case. How many days now, or did we have the jury trial of?
The trial's been over a year.
Yeah, I think they started first January 9th.
Of last year.
Of last year.
Yeah, right.
So the trial is, January, February, March, April.
1-15.
So
I
the
guess.
Trial is going to go as long as the preliminary hearing, maybe.
I don't think it will.
Okay.
As I said, having heard rumors that possibly with investigator Kirk Bunch, Captain Crunch Bunch, he's supposed to finish today, and then I heard that the defense was supposed to start next week. And I heard that apparently the defense attorneys, every time they take Mr. Bunch to task on something, that Marlissa Ferreira has to come back and redirect on it. That's what I've heard.
Okay. All right. I think Warren has to look up something here. Well, let's go to some backstory on hotels. First of all, I'm curious as who are these people that are going to put up the money to build this hotel?
I understand we were off the air for a few minutes. So anyway, as we get back to the...
Who's going to put up the money for... while you were gone, I switched to hotel.
Oh.
Who's going to put up the money for the hotel? We don't know.
Hilton.
Hilton?
Yeah. Nikki Hilton.
I wonder if Ernest Hahn is around.
I don't know.
Ernest Hahn did the Red Lion, now called the DoubleTree.
Yeah.
And we co-signed on the property there and lost $6 million.
Do we ever know why they went bankrupt for the Red Lion?
Because Alan Grant was the developer.
His hotel management, poor management?
No, that hotel was built 10 years before it should have been. They were told that when they started. That convention center was built 4 or 5 years before it should have been. And it was not sold as a convention center. It was sold as a community center, the Center Plaza. And it was all a scam to begin with. And if people want to look and see what road we're headed down, head down the road to Fresno and go down there now. You don't have to wait for $49,000 here from this phony outfit. I was going to call them phony when I got there, but there'll be time enough for
invectives.
For invectives, yes.
Yes,
of course.
Just a
little bit of time. Yeah,
well,
get on the road to Fresno and go down there and see what they've done with all of these hotels, parking lots.
Well, we'll be Little Fresno then.
Okay. All right, so we're going to skip right back to my friend Kirk Butch.
Yes, he's your friend, all right.
Yeah.
You know, that picture that they have of him when he, after he kicked in the door there at AJ's place with the SWAT, well, it's not a SWAT team, it was an entrance team. And he wasn't part of the search warrant, remember?
Yeah.
That's however, like I said, he's in there waving his gun around, you know, in people's faces, and they had gone in, they were looking for one particular file, a document.
Yes.
Yeah. And they made it as if they were raiding a terrorist cell. But then, you know, some people, you know, waving that gun around like he does, it's kind of certain police officers, I don't know whether you know this or not, they kind of, maybe I don't know if you know this, Dave, or not, but a lot of police officers use their gun as a phallic symbol. You know, something that they have a shortage of somewhere else, they wave a big gun around. So, consequently, that, I mean, that's a...
Brad Johnson, are you listening? are we going off the air?
Oh.
They had that in the military.
No.
Officers would carry these swagger sticks, remember?
Oh, well, yeah, sure.
9-inch rod they would carry. And Eisenhower said, no more swagger sticks. That's not part of an officer's routine. And a great, great complaint among the ranks. The officers wanted to restore swagger sticks. See, he responded with an executive order that says, those who need swagger sticks to assert their authority, go ahead and you can have your swagger stick. They disappeared overnight.
Well, I always thought those were when they rode horses, that was for the, you know, get the horse going.
Yeah,
I didn't know. I don't know what the swagger stick. I thought it was a whip for the horse.
Swagger stick.
Oh, my gosh.
Second World War.
Oh, my gosh.
Whew.
That was the way to handle it. If you need that to search your authority and be effective, then go ahead and use it. And they disappeared overnight.
Oh. Yeah, no, I thought that was when they were riding horses. That's what that was for. But
that's where it came from.
Riding horses, you mean? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's what I thought, yeah. That's what I thought. But, you know, the bun should be about finished anyway. I think by today, if he is, then that would be good.
Well, the pressure should be put on Flatiger to get rid of these guys.
Oh, no. Can't do that. There shall no support then. Nobody would be backing her up.
But these, some of these investigators, one of the inquiries I would have of the city of Modesto in relation to the, what did they call it, the county task force, the task force.
Yeah.
That was one of the questions brought up yesterday in the courtroom about this task, whatever it was.
Gang Impact Task Force,
and that was Sheriff Christensen's group. It was a bunch of guys, FBI. It was a club. Turlock series. Modesto's contribution was John Evers, making $175,000 a year. Really?
Yeah, but he's not investigating this terrible situation.
Well, one of the questions the defense attorneys asked Bunch was that when they went to A.J. Pontillo's bail bonds office, was that a gang they were going after? No.
No.
No. Well, why would you do that?
Well, I explained it earlier in this broadcast. I don't have to repeat it, why they went waving guns around.
Because they could.
Yes. Well, I understand from what I, some of the things going on with Investigator Bunch on the stand, the defense attorneys are doing quite a job on the discrediting him. As I said, he contradicted the Juice Jacobson by, they can't figure out who the lead investigator was on some things, so I don't know whether they were wanting the glory of it or they were trying to, it wasn't me. I don't know which one it was.
You know something? We should be afraid of what's going on, not only locally, but nationally.
Oh, now wait a minute. Just a minute there now.
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
Okay. Lightweight discussed this earlier.
Yes.
Yes. So no, we don't want to talk about the...
But they are scary times.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can sit here and talk about a bail bonds office that was invaded by, eight officers.
Right, yeah.
All with
shotguns.
Shotguns,
well,
handguns.
Shotgun, assault rifles,
yeah.
Handguns,
yeah.
Waving around, yeah.
Uh-huh. We
sure.
Can, yeah.
Over a document.
Yeah, and that could happen to anyone.
Certainly. And
okay.
It does.
Okay.
It is egregious.
Yeah. And yet, as I'm talking to you about that, I look up on the TV.
I see ducks.
And
that's a commercial.
And
go
what
ahead.
I saw there was that the president wants to send troops to the detention centers.
Hey.
Are the kids getting out of hand?
Oh, dear. Listen, Mayor, that wasn't just on the TV. That was when we were inside the restaurant, you saw that. Now,
yes,
come on, let's
yeah.
be honest here. Don't be...
No, I'm saying we were
yeah.
talking in the restaurant. The
I thought you said just
there.
Now you saw it on the TV. I just wanted to correct that.
No,
okay.
No, right now I'm looking at a TV in here and there's nothing on it. But,
right, thank you.
When I looked up, and that was one of the things that our
yes,
president wants
I
to
saw
do,
that.
Is send troops to where we're housing children.
No, not children.
Oh.
Migrants, as they call them.
Migrants.
I call them illegals, but they're migrants. Yeah,
migrants.
Well, sure. There's some violent people there. MS-13 gang members.
Fewer violent people in the immigration population than in the natural born population.
Oh, now we, whatever that, too. Yeah.
Statistically, you don't look at that.
No, I don't want to see that.
But I have to give Fox News credit. I did turn on Fox News, and they did play those clips of our president yelling his love for WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks, I love him. Oh, yes. No. Time after time expressing his love for WikiLeaks. Well, now that Assange has been arrested.
Yeah, but he never met Assange. All he
Do
did
you
was
think
read
he's
it.
Going to like WikiLeaks?
Oh, yeah.
What he's going to hear now?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I don't think so. But anyhow, it's something that we should be talking about.
Well, you know, of course, we have to kind of stay on a local level because we have to clear up this local mess before we move on to the national mess.
Well, we should have invited Trump down here to clean up the swamp.
No, you should have invited Bridget Flatiger down here to interview on the radio.
Oh, no, she won't do that.
She's been invited. You invited her.
Yeah. Well, Bridget Flatiger, some of the documents I've seen, had the federal authorities were investigating one of her investigators. That would have been, Aaron Gallagher?
Aaron Gallagher, yeah.
Did you know him?
Yes.
And Aaron Gallagher was pretty heavily involved in stuff to such a degree that the FBI was going to indict him.
That was in Gungate here, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
And the FBI informed Flatiger that he shouldn't be carrying a gun, he shouldn't be in the police enforcement business at all, and that they, as I said, that we're thinking of indicting him. And you know what Birgit's response to that? Well, and incidentally, Brian Clark at the B, or Garth Stapley, or Kevin Villain, any one of those guys who want to read Birgit Flatiger's response to the Attorney General, to the feds, her response was, please don't do that. It'll be bad publicity for my office, for her office.
Oh.
I will take care of it. The implication was that she was going to deal with Mr. Gallagher.
And did she?
After 2 years.
Well, we can't rush things, you know.
Because Gallagher said, I'm not giving up my gun, and I'm not quitting. Because I got stories. So it took her 2 years to unload him.
Well, it was like pulling teeth, I guess.
Well,
hard to do. So anyway, I guess we're going to figure that the testimony for Bunch is probably going to hopefully end today so we can move on. And
you got time to run down there?
No, I don't. Well, I don't know. I have something I have to run to right after the radio show here. I might be able to. Well, it's at 1:30 again, yeah. Well, maybe, but otherwise. I'd like to, in fact, go down and watch the defense attorneys kind of give Kirk a rectumectomy.
Well,
you know?
What we are going to be doing is demanding. We'll be asking for the transcripts of Bunch's entire testimony for the last 2 days. So we will have transcripts, and it's too bad we couldn't have videos of what was going on.
Oh, they're not videoing it for public release.
Okay, now everybody, I'm serious. Make sure you get out there tomorrow and love Modesto. And you go out.
I'm bringing my shovel and rake.
And I have a message also for Jeff Jardine, former columnist of the V. Jeff, let me know where you are. I can come and take pictures of you picking up trash.
Yeah,
sure. That's where you've ended up. And we'd like to support some project one day.
Out of the year.
The CEO makes $105,000.
Mayor, it's been a pleasure being on the air again with you.
Yeah. We'll see you Monday.
I'll come back again sometime when I can't spend so long.
Yeah, but that's not so tough love.
Thank you.
We chickens trying to sleep, and you butt in.